Okay, welcome to Parshas HaShavua. The shiur on the parsha this week is Parshas Tetzaveh. It's also a very special Shabbos. It's Parshas Zohar, which is the parsha we read about Amalek. And we fulfill the mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did to the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. And coming together with the mitzvah of eradicating and destroying the nation of Amalek with all of its evil. So we're going to talk a little bit about Amalek, but let's first begin with the very first pasuk in this week's parsha, which is a very unique pasuk. You know, this is the parsha that the only parsha from the beginning of Shmos till the beginning of Devarim that doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name, and therefore that's a simple reason why when it introduces the first mitzvah of this parsha, it doesn't say that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying that he should say to the Jewish people. It just right away jumps in and says that Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu in the second person. Okay. What does the parasha actually begin with? The parasha begins with the mitzvah of making olive oil to light the menorah. So it says, and I'm going to read it. I didn't have the handout this week, so I'm not going to share a screen. But it says, Ve'ata tetzaveh. Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, and you will command the Bnei Yisrael, and they will bring to you shemen zayis zoch, pure olive oil, kosis lamoy, which was crushed in order to produce light, because it produced oil, which will make light, lahalois neir tomid, which will kindle the eternal light, the ongoing light. Then it says, where will this light be? The oil moed will be in the Mishkan, just on the other side of the curtain, because the Mishkan had the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which was separated from the rest of the Mishkan by a curtain, Asher Eidus, which that curtain hid and concealed, the Ora in the Ark. That's where, and on the other side of that curtain, that's where the Benoira had to go. Yaruch Oisai Aaron of one of Aaron and his son should arrange it Me'erev Ad Boiker, from evening to morning, because the candles had to burn from evening to morning. Lifnei Hashem, Chukas Olam Adoresot, this is an eternal commandment, and Me'es Bnei Yisrael should come from the Jewish people. So, of course, all the Mefarshim want to know, why does it start, why does it say, Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command, you should command the Bnei Yisrael. Why doesn't it say, Tzaveh Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people? It's like this emphasis, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will be the one to command the Jewish people. The Kli Yakar, the famous Kli Yakar, also asks the question. He says, the Mefarshim asks, why is this mitzvah here? What, this mitzvah shouldn't be here. This mitzvah, the mitzvah of lighting the candles, comes later on in the Torah, Parshas Emor, Parshas Baloischa, and so on and so forth. It's got nothing to do with it. Here we're talking about the construction of the Mishkan. Lighting the menorah was a different mitzvah, and it comes later in the Chumash. Also, it says, Lahalois Neir Tomid. It's to kindle the eternal light. So he says, why the eternal light? There were seven lights. It should say, Lahalois Neirois Tomid. In the plural, Neirois, candles which are eternal, candles which are constant. Why the Neir? Why one candle? And second of all, why do we say tumid? It's not constant. The candles only burn from evening to night, evening to morning. During the day, they didn't burn. Okay, so Rashi really says it's not such a problem, because we know that the idea of tumid means that it's constant, it's every day, like the korban tumid. The korban tumid was the ongoing korban. It wasn't all day, but it was every day. Over here also, it's every night. Okay. But still, he wants to know why it's that. And also the Kli Yakar wants to know what's going on. Why do we have to know exactly where the menorah is? And we need to use the curtain which divides between the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the place of the Oroin, the place of the Ark. That is the one on the other side of that curtain. You have to put the menorah. But why, like, such a long-winded sort of reference to where it has to be? And he says the following. Kli Yakar has a beautiful idea. And then we're going to use this idea to go into another vort, which I saw, which I'm going to share with you, a beautiful idea. He says, the Ramban writes that when the Torah says here that we're going to create a constant candle, we're not talking about all the candles of the menorah, because they were not really constant. We're talking about one candle. There was one candle in the menorah that was known as the Neir Ma'arovi, the Western candle. It was the candle closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, closest to the Holy of Holies. And that miraculously continued to burn. It burned every day, all day, all night, 24/7. Right? And if we understand that the Pasuk is referring to that candle, we'll answer all the questions, says the Kli Yoker. First of all, he says the Mishkan was divided into three parts. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. The Kodesh, where the table and the menorah and the small mizbech of incense was kept. And then the outside, which was the big mizbech, where korbanos, the sacrifices were. And he says all of these places are part of the Mishkan, where Hashem said, make for me a Beis HaMikdash and I will dwell there. Now, we know that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was separate from everything else. It had a curtain and it was concealed. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he said, that in every part of the Mishkan, there should be something that's a testament to the fact that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is resting with Adi. Now, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the presence of the Shekhinah was obvious. There was the Luchos. It was miraculous. We know the Luchos was miraculously written. It was fully engraved from one side to another, which meant certain letters like the Mem, the final Mem, and Samach really meant it was miraculous. It was all the way through, and there was nothing to hold on to. And nevertheless, it was there, and there was just sort of miracles that were in the Ohr. And therefore, in the base, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a sign, a constant sign that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is resting among the Jewish people. Now, that's not obvious to everyone because that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and there's a curtain dividing there. Therefore, not everyone can go there. Therefore, it's possible for someone to come into the Mishkan and to think, well, I don't see a sign of the Shekhinah resting here. So therefore, what Hashem had to do is the next section of the Mishkan, the Kodesh, there also had to be a sign. What was that sign? The sign was the miraculous constant burning of the Neir Ma'arovi, that one candle. That burnt constantly, that burnt 24/7. So therefore, says the Kli Yoker like this, that when Hashem comes with this mitzvah over here to tell him to make olive oil, laha'alois ner tamid, to make this one eternal candle, this is not the place where the Torah is talking about the mitzvah of lighting all the candles each day. That's in Parshas Emor. This is to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to create another sign of the Shekhinah's presence in the Kodesh, not the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it says, you need to do this. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the source of all miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu was the source of Torah, and that's the Oren Kodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu is the source of all miracles. As we know, he brought about all different miracles, and therefore he's the one that can bring about the second miracle of the Western candle. And that's why the Torah says it's got to be outside the curtain, which is hiding the Orein, because that's why we need to do this. It's hiding the Orein. And therefore, it answers the questions why it's here, because it's part of the building of the Mishkan. Why it's V'atot etzav you, because Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing the miracle. Why is it the other side? Why is it the other side of the Parochas? Because the Parochas is hiding the Mishkan. It's hiding the Mishkan, it's hiding the Oren, I mean, and it has to be there for another miracle, and Moshe Rabbeinu brought that about. But even though that this Western candle had the same amount of oil like all the other candles, but nevertheless it burnt much longer, and therefore we have two testimonies, two important miracles, the Oren and the Menorah, that both testify that the Shekhinah, the divine infinite presence, is among the Jewish people all the time. Okay, that's the Kli Yoker's idea. Now, let's go to a famous Balaturim. Balaturim comments, of course, the parsha starts with Atat Letzava. One of the reasons is because in this whole parsha, we do not find Moshe Rabbeinu's name. So the Balaturim says, why is that? Because when the Jewish people served the Egel Azov, the golden calf, and Hashem was angry with the Jewish people and he was going to kill them and he was going to destroy them, Moshe Rabbeinu interceded and he said, you have to save them, you have to forgive them. And he said, V'im ayin, and if not, erase me from your book that you have written. Erase me from the Torah. And since the Gemara says that when a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, curses, even if it's conditional, because Hashem did forgive the Jewish people, nevertheless has some effect. That's why at least one parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not there. So in the book Sari Alofim, which I've been quoting from recently, at my current author, Lalai Rabbi Twersky, one of the rabbis Twersky, he asked the question. He says, why is Parshas Tetzaveh, why is it this Parsha that was chosen to fulfill this curse of removing the name of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why? So he says, we also have to understand another thing. He says, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, the im ayin, and if you're not going to forgive them, mechenino, erase me from the book he wrote. What does it mean, erase me? That's the way you threaten Hashem. And also it should say, erase my name. What does it mean, erase me? He's not erasing me, erase my name. So he says, and he goes to the Parsha of Amalek, which is very connected because this week is Tetzaveh and Zohar. And he says the following. This week we're going to read Parsha Zohar, and we're going to read the following. We're going to say, Zohar es asher osalacha Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you, but seischem mim Mitzrayim, from when you came out of Mitzrayim. When you came out of Mitzrayim. Now, why do we need this phrase, when you came out of Mitzrayim? Why is that necessary? Why is that relevant? And also, it says, Timcha es zecher Amalek. Wipe out the memory of Amalek. We would imagine just that we have to actually erase, we have to remember what Amalek did. So what does it mean, wipe out the memory of Amalek? It should have said, Timcha es Amalek, wipe out Amalek. Why zecher Amalek? What does it mean to wipe out the memory of Amalek? So he answers it with the following, and it's got to do with Purim. The Gemara asks a strange question. The Gemara says, where do we see a hint for Haman in the Torah? And famously, the Gemara says, yes, at the beginning of the Chumash, when Adam and Chava ate from the forbidden fruit, and Hashem called out to them and said, Ayeko, where are you? Hashem asked the following question. Hamin ha'etz, asher tzivisicha, was it that kind, that species of the fruit, hamin ha'etz, that I commanded you not to eat, that you ate? Is that what happened? And the word hamin is spelled without a yud, so it looks like Haman. And that's the connection between Haman and the Torah. See, that's a famous question, like all the Mefarshim ask, because you found a word that's spelled like Haman. So what's that got to do with the whole thing of Haman and the Purim story and Haman and Amdasa and so on? Says the following. We know there's a pasuk that says, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the neshama of man, which means that the pasuk compares the neshama of a yid to Neir Hashem. What exactly is the comparison? And explains the following. Based on what we said before in the Kli Yoker, we know that when we talk about the Neir Hashem, what is the candle of Hashem? It says we're referring to the Neir Ma'aravi, the Western candle that in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash burnt eternally. It burnt non-stop. It never went out. Because this is a testimony that the Shekhinah is always among the Jewish people. What does that mean? Maybe he says that's the Neir Hashem, that's the candle of Hashem, that's the neshama of a person. In other words, just like the candle of Hashem, which is the Western candle of the menorah, never ever went out, so too the neshama of a yid never goes out. Which means that even if a person sins, even if a person goes astray, even if a person descends into a very low level, the portion, the part of us that's Hashem, the godly part of us, which is the chelek halakah, the godly part, will always remain burning. And this is what it means that the candle, that Western candle we spoke about before, is testimony that the Shekhinah is always among the Jewish people. Therefore, what do we learn from that? An important lesson. We learn that a Yid always has to, in any situation, has to, even if became very far from Hashem, even if we went down into the 49 levels of impurity like they did in Mitzrayim, you always have to know you have a neshama, and the neshama never goes out. And therefore, never dissolves. And therefore, we can always reignite our connection to Hashem. And when a Yid recognizes the holiness of the neshama, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, that it never goes out, then there's always hope. There's always hope, and we can have simcha and reconnect to Hashem in a most powerful way. That's the reality. What's Amalek? Amalek, we know, is the idea of coldness, apathy, cynicism. Amalek is that power that tries to take away the hope. and tries to make us look at our downfall, at our deficiencies, makes us want to look at the things we've done wrong so that we shouldn't have hope. We shouldn't be able to reconnect to Hashem properly. That's why it says, the Pasuk says, Zochor es asher asalocha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way when you came out of Mitzrayim. Amalek was reminding you where you come from. You think you're going to Matan Torah. You think you're going to get the Torah. You think you can connect to Hashem. You just come out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the 49 levels of Tumah. Mitzrayim, you were assimilated. Mitzrayim, you were descended in the evil of the evil, the most downtrodden in Madrega. That's what Amalek is trying to do. He's trying to block us from the journey towards Matan Torah. He's trying to block us from connecting to Hashem by looking at the impurity, by looking at our bad past, by looking at the mistakes we made. So we should give up hope. That's why the Torah says, this answers his question, Timcha es zecher Amalek. Erase the remembrance of Amalek, meaning erase the memories that Amalek is trying to get you to remember. Amalek wants you to remember the past, your bad past, all the things you've done wrong, your deficiencies, your weaknesses, your impurities. Wipe that out. Remember your neshama better. Remember the Neir Hashem Nishmas Odom, the eternal candle. Erase, wipe out all the memories that Amalek is trying to get you to remember. Now, let's go back to where Haman, of course, came from Amalek. But let's go back to this idea the way it was in the very beginning of creation. Adam and Chava sinned. They had two choices now. One choice is to concentrate on the fact that we're created by Hashem, to concentrate, to focus on the fact that they have a soul that hasn't gone out, that they can do tshuva and they can reconnect. That's one path. The second path is to start looking at their nakedness, at their lowliness, which was caused and created through their sin, which will make them give up hope of doing tshuva and reconnecting to Hashem. Which is why he says that Hashem came to the Jewish people, it came to Adam and Chava, and he said, Ayeka, where are you? Which means, what does it mean, where are you? Many, many different ideas, famous ideas, but over here the pshat is, which path are you choosing? Are you going to choose focusing on your bad? That's exactly what the snake wants you to do. You've sunken into sin. You've connected to impurity. Is that what you want to do? Or maybe you should look at the Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. You should look at the power of Hashem. That's why the Gemara says, Haman min haTorah minayin. You know where Haman comes from? The Torah, from that very original story. But that's exactly what Haman wants to do. Haman wants us to remember all the bad. Now, Haman wanted the Yidden to remember that they're nothing, that they're disconnected from Hashem, that they had a, that Hashem was hidden from them, that Hashem had abandoned them, that Hashem was completely not interested in them, that they had eaten and assimilated and had enjoyment from the feast of Ahasuerus. And that was his power. That's what he was trying to get the Yidden to give up hope, and he was succeeded partially. And that's why the Gemara says, where does Haman come from? From the very beginning. That maybe Adam and Chava were focusing on their sin rather than focusing on the hope. That's where it comes from. But the whole idea is the downfall of Haman and the downfall of Amalek. That's all one thing. Haman, Amalek, Adam and Chava, Hamin Ha'etz, they were trying to give up hope. They were focusing on the bad rather than the Shomer. But we know the Purim story is about wiping out Amalek. Purim story is about the downfall of Haman. And therefore, we have to focus on the neshama, focus on the neir, the candle that has never gone out, the candle that still burns, there's still hope, there's still warmth, there's still connection with Hashem. That's why when it comes to the Egel Azor, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem wants to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu steps in and he says, this is me. I'm the leader of the Jewish people. I know who they are. I stand for the Jewish people. And therefore, I know that they still have a neshama, that yes, they did a terrible thing, but they're still connected. And he says, if you don't forgive them, mecheinino, erase me. He says a beautiful idea. He says mecheinis, memches is like from the word mechei, to erase. Ni nun yud no nun aleph. That's an acronym. What does the acronym stand for? Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. You're erasing the Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. Therefore, he says, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu stands for. And he says, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is the middle candle. Because you know, the seven candles of the menorah corresponds to the seven Ushpizim, the seven say famous tzaddikim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. What's the fourth one? What's the middle one? What's the one that was miraculously built, miraculously burnt all the time? Moshe. That's Moshe's job. Moshe's job is to highlight the neshama of a yid. Moshe's job is to give hope to the yid, to give emunah to the yid. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in this parsha, because it's actually not a punishment. It's more of a greatness. It's like showing it's what I am. It's my essence. It's who I am. It's not my name, my description. It's really who I am. The mahus, my whole parsha is Moshe. But that's why the parsha begins with Ata Tetzaveh, and you will command. Like the Bava, everyone's once explained, the Ata Tetzaveh means, and you will connect. Mitzvah from the language of tafso, connection. You will connect the Yidden to Hashem. You stand for the Yidden. That's why the whole parsha doesn't have his name, because it's deeper than his name. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's essence is to highlight the neshama and to bring back our Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom, to give us hope, to give us faith. And that answers all the questions of why Moshe Rabbeinu asked his name to be taken out and what it means, Mechenino. And the most important thing is to learn from the story of Amalek and the story of Purim and the story of Chet Eitz Hadas, never to focus on the evil, never to focus on the bad, but always to focus on the hope and the neshama, which is always remains connected with Hashem. Have a good day and a good Shabbos.